सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 We chant chapter 2, verses 56 to 60.
My friend is stuck inside the kapha.
Take it off, is it?
It's got stuck.
He's so smart, he's taking it off.
That's it, and slowly pitches it in.
We'll chant verses 56 to 60, chapter 2, page 132. Dukkeshvanudvignamanaha, Dukkeshvanudvignamanaha, Sukeshuvigatasprahaha, Sukeshuvigatasprahaha, Vitaragabayakrodaha, Vitaragabayakrodaha, Stitadirmuniruchyate, Dukkeshvanudvignamanaha, Sukeshuvigatasprahaha, Vitaragabayakrodaha, Stitadirmuniruchyate, Yassarvatranabhisnehaha, Yassarvatranabhisnehaha, Tattatprapyashubhashubham, Tattatprapyashubhashubham, Nadhinandatinadveshti,
Tasya prajna pratishtita,
Yassarvatranabhisnehaha, Tattatprapyashubhashubham, Nabhinandatinadveshti, Tasya prajna pratishtita, Yada samharate chayam, Purmongani vasarvashaha, Indriyanindriyatebhyaha, Tasya prajna pratishtita, Yada samharate chayam, Kurmongani vasarvashaha, Indriyanindriyatebhyaha, Tasya prajna pratishtita, Vishayabini vartante, Niraharasya dehinaha, Rasavajjam rasopyasya, Paramdrishtvani vartate, Vishayavini vartante, Niraharasya dehinaha, Rasavajjam rasopyasya, Paramdrishtvani vartate, Yatatohyapi kaunteya, Purushasya vipaschitaha, Indriyani pramatini, Haranti prasabhammanaha, Yatatohyapi kaunteya, Purushasya vipaschitaha, Indriyani pramatini, Haranti prasabhammanaha. Now, last week we were doing that self-sufficiency, right? We were talking about self-sufficiency, if you remember. When we talked about verse 55, when Krishna gives the answer first, when one completely casts off all his desires from the mind and is satisfied in the self by the self, then is one said to be man of steady wisdom. In that context, I said, let us start practicing self-sufficiency wherever we can. And today while I was bringing this book for you, I was reminded of this from your Ramtita's book. 7 principles he talks about in the in his lecture on Secret of Success. The last 7th principle that he talks about, this is by Swami Ramtita. Swami Ramtita only lectured, he never wrote any books. But his lectures were taken by somebody and then they have published it as In Woods of God Realization in 7 volumes. The very first volume, the topic that he had given lecture on in Japan and USA, called as The Secret of Success. In that he talks about 7 principles. The 7th principle he talks about is self-reliance. So that I'll just read it out. It's just 1.5 pages, so I can read it out. He says, last but not the least, nay, the vital principle or the very keynote of success is self-reliance, self-dependence. If anybody asked Rama to give his philosophy in one word, he would say self-reliance, the knowledge of self. Hear, O man, know thyself. True, literally true it is. When you help yourself, God must help you. Heaven is bound to help you. It cannot be proved. It can be realized that your very self is God, the infinite, the omnipotent. Here is a reality, a truth waiting to be verified by experiment. Verily, verily depend upon yourself and you can achieve anything. Nothing is impossible for you. The lion is the king of the forest. He depends upon his own self. He is bold, strong, and the conqueror of all difficulties because he is in himself. Elephants, when first seen in India, were aptly called by the Greeks moving mountains, are always afraid of their enemies. They always live in groups and employ sentinels to keep watch over them when they sleep, and none of them relies on himself or his own capabilities. They regard themselves to be weak, and the law is that they must be weak. The one daring dash of the lion intimidates them, and the whole group of elephants is bewildered, whereas a single elephant, the moving mountain, may trample scores of lions to death under its feet. A highly instructive society is told of 2 brothers who equally shared their inherited property, but after some years one was reduced to indigence and the other multiplied his fortune by 10s. The answer to the question why and how put the one who became a millionaire was that his brother always said go go, while he himself always said come come. The meaning is that one used to order his servants go go and do this, while he himself was always lying on his feather stuffed cushions, and the other was always up on his feet and its work, and all and called his servants to help, come come and help do this. One depended upon his own power and riches multiplied. The other ordered his servants go go, they went away, but fortune always obeyed his command go go, and thus he was left alone. Rama says come, brothers come and share Rama's success and happiness. So it is, brothers, friends and countrymen, man is the master of his own destiny. If the people of Japan give Rama more opportunities to convey his thoughts to them, it can be shown there is no rational ground whatsoever for putting faith in myths and fables and placing our center outside ourselves. Even a slave is a slave because he is free. Out of freedom we are prosperous. Out of our own freedom we are suffering. Out of our own freedom we are enslaved. Then why should we grumble and croak? And why not make use of our real freedom to free ourselves physically and socially? I'm just giving you one sample from his lectures, and he talked about self-sufficiency. Beautiful examples he gives. Like he says, 2 fellows inherited the property. One became rich, multiplied his fortune. One did not. Why? Because one relied on himself. The other relied on the outside forces. So in this very first answer to Arjuna's question, who is a Sita Prajna? Lord Krishna beautifully emphasizes on this point that one who is happy within, self-sufficient, relies on himself and not on the outside forces. One whose desires are not there in his mind. Meaning his mind is absolutely free and happy within. Such a person is the Sita Prajna. And then the second verse we just started last week, if you remember, which says, Dukeshu Anudvigna Manaha Sukeshu Vigatispraha Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha Thithadir Muni Ruchyate. He is said to be a Muni, he is said to be a sage of steady wisdom, one who is balanced and equal in Dukkha and Sukha. So Dukeshu Anudvigna Manaha, he whose mind is not agitated when in sorrow, nor excited by joy, who is free from desire, raga, bhaya, krodha, anger. He is called the sage of steady wisdom. So, because when you read the first verse, which said, whose mind is free from desires, you think his life is insipid. There is neither joy nor sorrow. So he says, no, he has both sorrow and joy. Anything that gives you sorrow, any situation, will also give him sorrow. In the sense, if somebody died, somebody near and dear to him died, then it will give him sorrow. But he will be the master of his sorrow and not the slave of his sorrow. He will not be agitated. Like Albert Einstein says, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep balance, one must keep moving. To keep balance, one must keep moving. A stagnant pond smells foul, stinky, dirty, can't drink the water. There is no freshness about it. But the river is flowing constantly and there is life, you can produce electricity. It's fresh, water is drinkable. So, when you stagnate, then your life is thrown into imbalance. You must move. Sorrow comes, meet it fully. I told you last week, the way to liberate is to be there fully. If you are not there fully, you will not liberate from it. So when sorrow comes, we are praying for joy. When joy comes, we are praying for what? We are praying for joy to stay with us permanently. Means, mentally, we are worried about sorrow visiting us. So we are not there fully. So when he says, Dukeshu Anudvignamanaha, Sukeshu Vigatasprahaha, means he meets it and moves. He is not allowing the situation to stop him. He continues his obligations. So sorrow will be there, but he takes upon his stride and moves. That is why he says he is not agitated by sorrow. Not excited by joy. So he is there free. See, many of us, we are contacting life with pre-selections. Like we already have selections. I want joyful situations. I want to avoid sorrowful situations. So I am planning my day. I want to avoid all the sorrowful situations and I want to select and be with all the joyful situations. So what have I done? Beforehand, I have already selected, pre-selection kar diya, that this is what is good for me, this is bad for me. So anything I resist will persist. So that is why you find in our life, sorrow goes on bothering us. We take sides between pleasure and pain, therefore pain bothers us. Don't select, just be there, take life as it comes. Anything that you need, this doesn't mean don't plan, but don't take these sides. I gave you the example of a person who is walking on the rope. He may take this side or that side apparently, he may bend towards this side or that side, but he is not actually choosing that side. So similarly, sometimes you might have to go to sorrow, sometimes you might have to go to joy. That's how the life balances. If everybody who comes on this earth continues to live, there won't be any place for us to live anymore. Therefore, to balance it out, few people will have to die, few people will be born, this will continue. So therefore, don't be pre-choosers. When you pre-choose, then you are not having choice when you meet the circumstance. Because you have already selected. So you cannot be but like this. Do you really have a choice? You must ask this question. If I really have a choice, then I will be free when I meet it, isn't it? But no, I have already chosen to avoid the situations that will give me sorrow. And I have already chosen to deal with the situations that will give me joy. So I don't have choice now. I've already chosen. And therefore, sorrow agitates me. Joy excites me. Excitement is another kind of agitation. So therefore, he says, be there totally free. Anything comes, Asita Prajna is ready to face it fully. So the fact that he faces it fully, he comes out victorious. He keeps moving. So Dukkeshu Anudvignamanah. So he doesn't run away from sorrow. If you remember earlier I said, in this world there are two types of people who are more in number. That is, one who run after joy, the other who run away from sorrow. In fact, these two things everybody does. We run after joy, we run away from sorrow. So, in other words, this is what is causing the problem. Understand, when sorrow comes, face it fully. Joy comes, face it fully, then you will not be agitated. Then he says, he will be free from desire, fear and anger. Desire, fear and anger means desire and its modifications. Swami Ramtita gives another example which is also beautiful. He says, when there is light all over the house and all the people are awake, a thief dare not enter the house. When the lights are switched off, then the thief enters. Isn't it? When people have gone to sleep, then the thief enters. So, when there is awareness, when you are there fully, freely and fully, then the desire, fear, anger cannot enter. Any negativity enters only when there is no light. So why are you in fear? Why are you in anger? Why are you in desire? Because you do not have the wisdom of the self within. Why do anybody commit any sin? Somebody asked Swami Ramtita, why are people avaricious? Why do they have avarice? He said, why will they not be avaricious? Because they are the self. And self means what? All pervading. All knowing. Everything belongs to the self. Everything is the self. So therefore, they want everything to be theirs. Only problem is, they have equated the self wrongly to the ego. That is why. So ignorance is the root cause of greed. Ignorance is the root cause of desire. Ignorance is the root cause of fear. Ignorance is the root cause of anger. Ignorance is the root cause of any sin. If you have knowledge, if you have wisdom, then you will not commit the sin. If you have the knowledge of the self, if you are turned within, to the extent you have identified with the self, to that extent desire leaves you. What is a desire? Desire is an outcome of your void that you feel within, imaginary void that you feel within, an insecurity, an unfulfillment that you feel within, because of which the thoughts run towards the world, and by attaining the object of my desire, I will become fulfilled. If I gain the knowledge of the self, which is happiness, then there is no question of desire coming into picture. Then all my actions will spring out of happiness, not out of desire. In a tamasic person, there is no activity springing because he is in coma stage. In a rajasic fellow, actions are springing out of desire. Therefore, he is acting but he is imbalanced. In a sattvic person, action is springing out of happiness, not out of a desire. Therefore, though he is acting, he is balanced. So he says he becomes free from desire, fear and anger. So one who is free, one who is free from desire, when desire has come, are you really free? Today,
we still want because...
The moment desire has come, now you are not dictating terms, your desires are dictating terms. You can see it in the eyes that he is bewitched by the object of the desire. The sight of our foolish heart in flames will long for pineapples in frames, says the Pombilian Copa. So, you know, the moment there is a desire, if you are watching it, if you are witnessing it, desire dies. Then your discrimination takes over. Then you may continue in the same route, but it is not the desire that is propelling you, it is you who is propelling the action, not the desire. When the desire is, discrimination is not. When the discrimination is, desire is not. So that's what he is saying. He who is free from desire, he has a gap. He is watching his desire. He has not become one with the desire. Wherever there is a gap, you are in control. When there is no gap, then you are not in control. That is why in meditation also we say, you watch the thought that comes. Don't criticize it, don't analyze it, don't condemn it. Just watch it. Like a passing cloud, like a passing traffic, it will pass away. Now when you watch it, you are the watcher and there is the desire which is being watched. There is this thought that is being watched. Then there is a gap created. Then it, the gap goes on increasing. Then the thought slowly wanes away. So it is in the case of a Sita Prajna that he is free because he is identified with the self within. Since he is identified with the self within, desire, fear, anger, nothing affects him. Otherwise, desire, when it is fulfilled, you develop greed. You want more and more and more. Lobha. When the desire is fulfilled, then you are afraid of losing what you have achieved. That is why a lot of people feel more stressed once they have reached a certain status. Till they were reaching a certain status, maybe they felt some stress. But having reached it, there is no stress. Why? Because you have to now maintain the status quo. That is worse. You understand? So in other words, desire, when it's fulfilled, you develop greed. If you are not a witness, then you are scared of losing what you have achieved. If you see somebody who has more than you, you develop jealousy. If you see somebody who has less than you, then you develop arrogance. And all this delude you. You are in moga. You cannot think clearly, you cannot act clearly, you destroy yourself. So he whose mind is not agitated by sorrow and excited by joy means one who is a witness. He goes through sorrow and joy, but he keeps moving freely. Now this who is free from desire, fear and anger, he is called a sage of steady wisdom. Then a thought might come in you that he is probably not a person who is dynamically acting in this world. So he says in the next verse he is removing that. In fact, in this verse, he's in the verse number 55. In verse number 55, what question did he answer? Arjuna asked four questions, no? What are the four questions? Sita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhi stasya keshava. What is the description of a man of perfection? Sita prajna, study with me. So first question was answered in verse number 55. Then in verse 56, which question did he answer? How does he sit? His inner personality. Just when he is by himself, when he is by himself, any sorrow comes, any thought comes, sorrowful thoughts or joyful thoughts, he is remaining a witness. His inner personality is peaceful.
This Guruji
answered
the question of how does
Sita
Prajna
sit? Inner state. Okay. Sit means when you are seated, you are by yourself, it indicates the inner personality. So we say, how does he sit means, what is his inner condition? His inner condition is, he is not agitated or excited by joy and sorrow. He might have lost somebody, so thought of that person's separation might come. That's a sorrowful thought, right? Or he might have won some lottery, that thought might come. Whatever thought might come, he is not outwardly going and contacting the world, yet when he is by himself also, there are certain thoughts that can come from within. You can't prevent it. Sometimes you wonder, you are sitting in the mandir and a very, very sensual thought comes. You can't prevent it because it is there inside you. You understand? All you can do is you need not identify with it. But if you start getting involved, why such thoughts are coming in me, you will in fact, you are putting more strength to that thought, and that thought only becomes more and more strengthened. Therefore we say, if any such thoughts come also, don't go on brooding over them, just be a witness if you pass away. Don't identify with it. So by identifying with it, you get agitated. You give strength to the opposition. So remain a witness. So when he is himself, his thought, his mental balance is maintained. He is not disturbed by joy or sorrow. Anybody saying anything doesn't disturb him. In the book Vedanta Treatise, Swamiji talks about three cones. In fact, this is an example which Swami Ramtita gives, but he uses pencil in place of cone. Swamiji has taken away pencil and he has replaced it with cone. What he is trying to say is, when a cone is lying on its apex, can it lie on its apex?
No.
But with support it can. Now that he calls as restless equilibrium. And the next one is cone lying on its side. Can it lie on its side or not?
Yeah,
it can. It can. But if somebody taps it, it will go on and on and on. This is called as imperfect equilibrium. And the third one he calls as perfect equilibrium, when your cone is lying on its base. When it's on its base, even tapping doesn't disturb. It's firmly rooted. So Shita Prajna is like that cone that's lying on its base, not on the ego. Highly egoistic person is like resting on the apex.
Yeah, that's
selfish. Shita Prajna is one who has dissolved his ego totally in the self. So his base is broad, so he is unshakable. Many of us are in between. By ourselves, we may not have many negative thoughts. But if somebody comes and calls you a monkey, then the whole day is gone. How did they call me as a monkey? You know, like in Othello, he says, such a thing as thou. Such a thing as thou. To call somebody a thing, you understand? Such a thing as thou. You understand their thoughts. Othello used a very foul language to address Desdemona, and she could not take it. She says, am I that name Iago? Am I that name? She asks Iago. So somebody's opinion, right, that can go on, maybe it can go on for months, years. People are in depression for ages. So depends. So by himself he may not be an extremely egoistic person, but he cares for the opinion of others. His ego is still there, it's not totally dissolved. Then he is in imperfect equilibrium. So in Siddha Prajna's case, the ego is totally dissolved. He is totally aware of the self, and therefore nothing affects him. His mind is always in equilibrium. Now, next verse talks about answer to another question. We'll see what it is.
First
question that was answered in verse 55 is, what is the description of a man of perfection?
The description. So that is the self-sufficiency.
Yes. Self-sufficiency, he is rooted in the self, therefore he is not dependent on the external world. When you have identified with the higher, the lower drops by itself. That is what he said in verse 55. In verse 56, he is answering the question, how does he
sit?
The inner personality. Now the next verse 57. Yasar vatrana bisnehaha yasarvatrana visnehaha tat tat prapya shubha shubham nabhinandati nadveshti tasya prajna pratishthita yasarvatrana visnehaha tat prapya shubha shubham nabhinandati nadveshti tasya prajna pratishthita. Now the question, how does he walk, is answered. Sita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava sthitadi kim prabhasheta kim masita kim prajeta. Kim asita was answered in the previous verse. Now he is answering kim vrajeta. How does he walk? In verse number 58, he answers the question, how does he speak? Okay? He is not answering in the same order in which Arjuna has asked. So don't get confused. Yaha means whoever. One who. Ya sarvatra anabhisneha. One who is everywhere, but without attachment. Because we think, oh, he doesn't go through joy or sorrow, then he must be always in his room, he will not be coming out. Otherwise, how is it possible? That's what we think. So he says, no. Yaha sarvatra anabhisneha. It is not the world that distresses you. It is how you relate with it.
So one
who is
everywhere without attachment.
Yeah. Yes, sarvatra anabhisneha. Sarvatra means everywhere. Sarvatra, sarvatra. Anabhisneha. Tatta prapya shubha ashubha. Means, prapya means he meets. It comes. Whatever he meets, good or bad. He neither rejoices nor hates. When good things come, he is not rejoicing. When bad thing comes, he is not hating. He meets them. He is everywhere. But he is neither rejoicing nor hates. He meets both good and bad. There are people who, like Buddha, was criticized by a few people. Glorified by a few people. You can't avoid. Excuse me. There will always be two sides. Manifestation level, there will always be pairs of opposites. So he will also meet the pairs of opposites. He is everywhere. Anabhisneha. This is the catch. We are everywhere, but with attachment. He is everywhere, but without attachment. So why is he jumping with rejoice and resisting with hatred? Because of attachment. So what is he trying to say in this verse? Such a person is established in wisdom. His wisdom is established. He is a sitaprajna. Means he walks, he contacts, he conducts in this world in such a way that whether he meets good or bad, he is always the same.
Is this not what we did in the last verse?
Last verse is when he is by himself. Tiga. Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha. Sukeshu vigataspakaha. Means within. Now when he contacts the world, when he is contacting the world, when he goes and meets the world, his actions can bring both success or failure. Good results as expected or bad results as one doesn't want it to be. So whether it is good or bad, firstly, what is good, what is bad, do we know? What we think as good for us is from a very limited point of view. What we think is bad, again, is from a limited point of view. But anything that is happening to us is only for our good. If we know that, then we will be able to digest both good and bad. If somebody has to go through certain things and it is happening to them, it is for them to become strong. Hmm? good that Djokovic meets Nadal, or is it bad for him? It's good. So that he keeps himself alert. Is it good if you meet critics or bad for you? It's good because he keeps you alert. A fellow who flatters you lets you to sleep. So what is good, what is bad? So Sthita Prajna understands that anything that happens is for my good. Whether it is good or bad, he meets them freely. See, the whole thing in Sthita Prajna is this. There is nothing new I am going to say. He remains a witness to both good and bad. When bad comes, what do we do? When somebody whom you don't like comes, first question you ask is, when are you leaving? Indirectly, at least you want to know, till when this guy is going to stay here? You want to find that out, right? When somebody is good, whom you like, comes, you don't want them to go. So what are you doing basically? The basic problem that arises in us, what is attachment? Attachment means you go with your likes and you resist your dislikes. That's all attachment means. You attach yourself to the outcome. Yes.
But when we say everything happens for a good, is okay when something is troubling us, we say yes, it's happening to make us stronger. But things also happen for our pleasure. So then, I mean, how is that helping us other than giving us momentum, happiness?
It's testing you whether you are, alert when it is there. Because many times when things are going all right, you go off to sleep.
You take it for granted.
That's why they say, in highways, where there are not much intersectors, people meet with accident because they can go to sleep. So pleasure is also a kind of thing that comes in your life to make sure that you have to be more alert. In fact, it is more important that you keep yourself alert in pleasure. So at any time, everything in this world, anyway, that was from a different angle I was presenting. But what is that you need to understand is, he doesn't take the side of good, he doesn't take the side of bad. There is no attachment. It is the attachment that bothers us. See, what does attachment mean? Anybody?
You just said go with your likes.
So what is it?
If you like something or someone, then the person or the object of the situation is in the mind, it doesn't leave your mind.
When your thoughts run from you to the objects indiscriminately, that is attachment. Are you with me? When your thoughts run from you to the objects indiscriminately, then you are attached to that object. Attachment is selfish love. I like this, I want this. I don't like this, I want it to be taken away. So when you lose your discrimination, it is attachment. Love means there will be discrimination. I hope you understand the meaning of discrimination in the context. I don't mean you will discriminate between the color. I don't mean in that sense. Not that kind of discrimination. It means your discriminative capacity is alert there. In attachment, it is lost. So he keeps his discrimination. He knows good comes, it's not going to stay for long. In fact, good and bad are two sides of the same coin. It's like a cycle, you know. Now, good has come into manifestation, which means what? Bad is coming. And good is going to go away. Then it's like night and day. It follows each other. You cannot have only day. You cannot have only night. So when good comes, when day comes, he goes through the day cheerfully. When night comes, he goes through the night cheerfully. Remember that poem, even this shall pass away. Even the beginning portion, if you remember, it's enough. Once in Persia, reigned a king who, upon a signal king, graved a maxim strange and wise, fit for every change and chance. Solemn words, and these were they, even this shall pass away. He had a ring on which he had graved a maxim which said, even this shall pass away. So he remains there watching the passing phenomenon. So he understands that good and bad are passing phenomenon. What is now a passing phenomenon? The eye. Because the childhood days passed away, but I was there. Youthhood days passed away, I was there. This old age will also pass away, I am there. So in all these things, what is a permanent factor? I, the self. So he identifies with the changeless. Therefore, any change doesn't affect it. So with reference to previous verse and this verse, the answer is, he is identified with the self. He never loses the focus of the self. It doesn't allow the good to touch him, doesn't allow the bad to touch him. He enjoys them equally, and when they go, he is ready to say bye-bye. He keeps himself always free. He keeps his mind always free. Like a projector in a movie theater. It simply projects. If the film roll contains a movie which is full of tragedy, projector simply projects it. If the film roll contains comedy, it simply projects it. Whether it is good or bad, he remains a witness. So yes, sarvatra means he is dynamic, yet a witness. So what is he trying to say? A self-realized soul is not one who doesn't contact the world, but in contacts he is not attached, he is detached. See, you should be able to say welcome to both pleasant things and pain things with equal cheer. Then you become a sitapragya. How is it possible? That's when I said there is a third factor. The two factors is pleasant and painful situations. Good and bad. These are the opposites. There is a third factor. What is it? The one who is meeting pleasure and pain. So if you can shift your focus from pleasure and pain towards the one who is meeting it, to that extent you will gain witnessing ability. So the moment you become aware that yes, pleasure is there, I am getting identified with it, immediately ask this question to yourself, pause and ask this question, who is going through pleasure? When pain is there, immediately ask this question, who is claiming to be going through pain? Then to that extent you are creating a gap. To that extent you will gain balance in both pleasure and pain. In his case, he has gone beyond the inquiry and he has established himself in the Atma within. In our case, we have to ask this inquiry and keep on identifying with Atma. So it is not just reading the book and reading the poem, even this shall pass away, and memorizing it. But in life, you should use this inquiry. When you think that you are being drawn away, but the first awareness comes, when anger comes also, initially you are aware, let us say. this guy is talking like this and it is irritating me, the anger is coming, little bit I'm aware. You have to nip it in the bud. At that time, you pass and ask, who is claiming to be getting angry? Then the inquiry has made you shift your focus from the person and his remarks to the self within. Then you are creating a gap. When you create the gap, then you gain control. That's why we say, it is bringing the light that helps you to conquer anger. There is no other method. Any attachment, any addictions, anything can only be tackled with light. Without light, it's not possible. If I start brooding over what is happening to me, then I am putting more and more investments in what is happening to me. And therefore, it will become strong and it will bother me. But if I start investing my time in the inquiry, then I develop this capacity to deal with it. This is at the practical level.
Can you just repeat that?
See, pleasure is happening. You are slowly getting drawn by it. Because you are saying, I hope this doesn't go away. I hope nobody takes it away. I hope it stays with me forever. These are signs of your attachment. These are signs of you losing. The moment you become aware, supposing you are not aware, you are fully in it, nobody can do anything. Later on you can think and reflect. But I am talking about when this is happening, and supposing you become aware, yes, this seems to be taking my attention towards it. Then you say, who is contacting it? Why am I contacting it? You are tasting something, the taste is very, very nice, and you are getting involved in it, you want more and more of it. That, that time you are little aware, am I eating more, am I getting involved? Supposing the awareness comes, I am saying that time you pause and ask this basic questions. Who is getting dragged away here? Why am I here? What am I here sitting to eat for? Am I living to eat or eating to live? When the basic inquiry comes, then you create a gap. When you create the gap, then you are in control. So his discrimination is always alert when he walks. In our case, when we walk, we have allowed our discrimination to sleep at home. Therefore, the objects take over. Therefore, the good things that happen and the bad things that happen takes us for a toss. We must keep our intellect always with us. Even for a second when you sleep, when you are driving, what will happen? See, a lot of us think you will not make with an accident if you don't drive the car or you go at a very, very slow speed. We attribute the accidents to speed. What we need to understand is, accidents are because of rash driving, not because of speed. Are you with me? These guys in their F1 race, they are driving at a high speed, 250 kilometers per hour, etc. Still they maintain their balance, awareness. There are fellows who are driving only at 40 kilometers per hour, but they have gone off to sleep. Obviously, they will be meeting with accident. So, it is not the dynamism that takes the toll upon you. It is the lack of intellect in your dynamism that takes the toll upon you. That is what he is trying to tell you here. He, in fact, functions at a very high speed.
Can you just repeat that sentence? A lack of...
It is not the dynamism that takes toll upon you. It is the lack of intellect or discrimination or awareness in the dynamism that is creating the problem. So because we think Siddha Prajna means he will not act. It's only possible if I don't act, I can be stress free. If I start acting, I obviously will be stressed. How is it possible? We think like that. So I am explaining to you that the stress is not because of dynamism, not because work. It is because of your lack of intellect when you act. Lack of awareness when you act. Lack of discrimination when you acted. Lack of acceptance, lack of awareness, lack of assessment. If I had that, then I will not be stressed. Stress is when you are inactive and your mind is constantly running after the object, then you are stressed. That is one case. Another case is when you are physically active but your mind is again constantly running after the objects, then also you are stressed. But if you can physically act but you can have your mind not running after the object but firmly surrendered to the goal, then you cannot be stressed. So when you act, if you can keep your awareness and not dissipate your thoughts towards past and future, then you will not be stressed. So it's not the action that stresses you. It is your lack of discrimination. It's your lack of awareness.
Like a constant hammering to yourself. Wake up.
Exactly. In fact, spiritual development is nothing but awakening. That's why we say, even in my classes I've mentioned before also in the past, some people are in total sleep, in coma stage. And many of us are in sleepwalking condition. And Siddha Prajna is one who has woken up and is walking. We are all sleepwalking. So you must have that, you must know the difference between sleepwalking and a person who has woken up and walking. That's all the difference. So Siddha Prajna doesn't mean he will stop acting. In fact, he will be acting very dynamically. But along with it, he is fully conscious, fully aware. Therefore, nothing affects him. Shubha, Ashubha.
So in this, when you said the inactive plus mind running is the one in the coma stage, the physically active but mind still running will be the sleepwalking stage.
Yes.
That's tamasic,
rajasic. He's not fully, tamasic, rajasic and sattvic. He's not fully there in what he's doing. His mind has gone towards the past and future, results, this and that. And that's the point. That is why he's stressed. So why is he stressed? Because of his mind running amok. He's not stressed because he's acting. He's stressed because his mind running amok. And mind runs amok when you lack awareness.
Siddha Prajna goes above
sattvika. Yes. So he who is everywhere without attachment, who having met good or evil, neither rejoices nor hates, his wisdom is established. Having met means what? Who having met rejoice and I mean good and bad.
There's a witness it.
No, he experienced it fully.
Who faces it? Who faces good and bad? We do not want to face bad. One who is ready to face anything is the one who is a winner. Are you with me? When you act in the world, you should be like a winner. Winner is not thinking about winning or losing. Is he? If he is thinking about, oh, I should not lose, I should not lose. I must win, I should not lose. He is obsessed with winning. When a person is obsessed with winning, what is he saying? I do not want to face a loss. So he is not wanting to
lose.
Obviously he will lose. So here's the prajna, doesn't take any side. He doesn't take the side of good, he doesn't take the side of bad. He is in action because he loves to do it, not because he wants to win it or he should not lose it. I love to do this, I am in it, I will do it as much as I can, I continue. He is not at all thinking about winning or losing. And therefore, he will be winning only. And even if he loses, nothing, no big deal for him.
So winning or losing, it doesn't matter to him.
Yes. It really doesn't matter.
He does his best.
Yes. So, he who is everywhere without attachment. We say, you know, it's my duty. It's my duties and responsibilities. And the very word duty gives you stress. When you hear, you know, it's my duty. Oh, he functions on love, not on duties and responsibilities. Like Swami Ramtita says, you have no duties. Because when you analyze duty, what do you call as duty?
Something you want, you have to do and you don't want.
What you think is the right thing to do. Which you don't, if you believed it was the right thing to do, it wouldn't be a duty. You would just be doing it happily.
So you want to get somewhere, and to get there you need to do certain things, that becomes your duty. So you are the master of your duty. You decided that these are my duties. But over a period of time, duty starts bogging you. Why? Because you fail to understand that you are the master of your duties and not a slave.
But sometimes duty is also what you are told that these are your duties and you are expected to do that. Like you said, you yourself tell yourself that this is your duty. And in some cases...
When somebody else tells you this is your duty, you have not accepted them as your duties. I am talking about what you have accepted as your duties. You are, in fact, that is even worse situation what you are giving me. Because you are not free. See, whenever you are agitated, please understand, it's because I am not free. You feel like trapped. You are either trapped by your own likes and dislikes, or by somebody else outside.
I think that's why today's generation, the kids, always act with full conviction. They do not just follow what you tell them. They always say that, but no, but I don't think I can continue doing it. So,
in many cases may not be that they are doing it with full discrimination. I'm not saying they don't act on discrimination, but many cases may be that they act on their likes and dislikes.
I think their logic is...
That's what I'm saying. Logic many times comes in support of like... Just because you are logical doesn't mean that you are discriminating. We need to understand the difference. Many times, you know, you give us a logic. Logic is only a tool. It depends who is using it. Arjuna was handling logic in the first chapter. He was talking logically. He was handling the tool logic. But it is Arjuna who is handling it. When logic... The tool comes in the hand of Krishna, it's a different thing. So, just because somebody is talking logically, doesn't mean it is discrimination. We need to differentiate the two. You know, there's a story. In a village, a fishing village, everybody was involved in fishing. In that village, everybody was at a very mediocre status level, except one person who was extremely rich. And there was only one lawyer in that village. From the fisherman's family, one fellow had gone to become a lawyer. So, this rich fisherman once went to fish in his boat. He did not come back. He died. The family understood, since he did not come for many days, they thought maybe he had died. But they wanted the dead body to do the final rites, right? So they were praying if they could find the body. One poor fisherman had gone into the sea to fish one day. He threw his net and he caught a heavy thing. So he threw the net out and he found it was the dead body. And his boat could not take more weight. So he just brought the dead body without any fishes, he returned. So he went and approached that family and said, "See, today I did not catch any fish because I got this body and I knew it belongs to you, it's your dad's body. So please give me something." They said, no, this much we can't give. So he said, what will I do? So he did not give the body, he went to the lawyer. There was only one lawyer in the village. Okay. He went to the lawyer. And the lawyer said, "Okay, I understand. You went and asked them, you are fully justified, because you did not catch fish and you survive on that only. So they should have given you what you asked, you are right. So don't worry. This dead body is very, very essential for them. And they believe in the final rites and all that. If they don't do, then they will incur sin and all that is their belief. So you keep the dead body. They cannot get this dead body from anybody else. They'll have to come to you. You just wait, they'll come to you." And he said, "This is my fee, give me 500 rupees, whatever." He took the fee and the poor fisherman came back with very contented heart. He went back. This rich family also went to the same lawyer, because there was no other lawyer. And the lawyer said, "Okay, can he sell this body to anybody else? Because it is of no value to anybody else. It is of value only to your family. So he has to sell it to you only. And after a few days, it will start decomposing, he cannot keep it. So he will come to you running, you wait." So they paid the fee and this fellow made his money. And this, in other words, logic. Just understand this logic. You are not talking about lawyers here. What I am talking about is the logic. Logic is the thing who is using. I have like the pond poem. The chick was using logic. Chick says, "I am really remarkably fond of water." And it used logic. And then it drowned. So it's objectivity with which you should use the logic. Many of us are using logic to justify our stance. That is different. This is all I wanted to say. First, the desire is taken over. When the desire is taken over, logic becomes a slave. And then, why? Should I do it or not? Yes, sir. Because you are like a Chinggis Khan, you are asking. So what will the logic do? You understand? Poor logic will say, "Yes, sir. Correct." You understand? That's what it is. So the thing is, it's not just being logical. Remember this. It's being objective. It's being discriminative. They're two different things. Merely going by logic doesn't mean that you're... It's better than not going by logic. But it's a different matter. Okay? But then, it's not just logic. You must live in this world but without attachment. So Ramtita says, like how a doctor while treating his patient doesn't get the disease to him, himself. He is treating the patient in such a way that he doesn't contact the disease. Similarly, you should contact, go about doing your duties without getting involved. We either don't do or we do and get involved. This is the problem. Either we overeat or we go on fasting. No middle path. Either we talk too much or we don't talk at all. There is no middle path. Either we completely don't work or we become workaholics. No middle path. So what is he trying to say here? A Siddha Prajna will follow that middle path. He acts but with awareness. And therefore he doesn't take any sides. Whatever he contacts, he remains balanced. So in this verse he is talking about Siddha Prajna from the point of view of how does he walk. How does he walk means how does he contact the world. When he contacts, what happens to him? How does he react? How does he conduct himself? That is what he is talking about. You remember that example we discussed before? A wooden piece, iron rod, and a magnet is kept. Wooden piece doesn't get attracted by the magnet, but the iron rod does. But if the wooden piece and iron rod is tied together, then it looks as if it is attracted, the combination, but even when it is attracted, apparently the wooden rod is not affected. Why? Because it is appearing to be tied with the iron rod, but it retains its properties. Similarly, even though you are in the world, you still conscious and aware of your Atma. You never lose focus. That's why in a relative sense, from a very very relative point of view, I say you cannot fall into a peer pressure if you are aware of your purpose. What is my purpose here? What am I doing? You know, I am not such a very busy person. I don't require a mobile phone which can send fax. I am hardly sending a fax, let us say. Once in 5 years I may get a situation where I need to send a fax. You know, why do I need a mobile phone with fax? I am not going to get peer pressure if everybody is holding that mobile phone. I am not going to get attached to it. So, if I am clear about my nature, if I am clear about, I have some assessment about myself, then when somebody comes and praises, nothing will affect me. When somebody comes and criticizes, I know, you are only seeing the good side, therefore you are praising me. I am fortunate enough that you are not seeing my bad side. You will gracefully accept, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are not going to go and tell him, excuse me, I also have a bad side, would you like to see that? You are not going to see all that. Right? So you will say, okay, you have self-assessment, so you gracefully accept it. Similarly, when somebody criticizes, you say, okay, he is only seeing this, there are other good things in me. Assessment hai, therefore you are not thrown out of balance. Purpose hai, therefore you are not thrown out of balance. When that is not there, then you will be thrown out of balance. Every opinion will throw you out of balance. Every good things and bad things that happen throws you out of balance. This is the point. When you are not centered in yourself, you are thrown out of balance. So you can contact being centered in yourself. So Siddha Prajna contacts the world being centered in the self. We contact the world being centered in the world, not in the self. This is the problem. Therefore, Shubha and Ashubha does not affect him. In our case, Shubha and Ashubha affects us. Because we have taken sides, as I told you before. Only good, no bad things. Is it possible to have a world where there is only profit and no loss? Can you have a business which will have only profit and no loss? Can you have a share market which will have only bull ride and not a bear ride? It cannot happen. This is how it goes. You understand? In fact, they say, you know, when the bull is running solid, then be ready for the bear to come. And that's why they say, if you are an astute market player, what will an astute market player do? One of the best market players is this, what's his name? Warren Buffett. What does he say? He says, when everybody is selling, I am buying. When everybody is buying, I am selling. So in other words, he sees an opportunity in the bear ride. He sees a fall coming in the bull ride. Are you with me? So in other words, he watches it. In our case, what happens? We go by the herd instinct, we go by the flow. Everybody goes and buys, so I must also buy. A Siddha Prajna is not like that. When things are going good,
cautious.
He knows, okay, bad is round the corner. He's not expecting it to happen. He's ready. So he doesn't get carried away by good. When bad is happening, he knows it cannot sustain for long. Good is coming. That's the point. We fail to understand. So we are all waiting for the... We are only taking sides of the bull. In fact, these people do not know how to play the market. Play in the market. So when you know that these both will have, it will be there, I am there, fully conscious, and I do it. Blindly, I don't go by the trend going up. Anything that goes up will have to come down. For every rise, there will be a fall. For every fall, there will be a rise. Waves go on swelling, and then it has to subside. Then that which has subsided will again rise. So the good and the bad is nothing but a cycle. And one who withdraws from that cycle and is conscious of that cycle is a satapragna. In our case, we get caught in the cycle. Therefore, what are we doing? We are going on resisting bad and we are going on creating more pressure. And because there is more pressure, we go on getting involved in the cycle. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam goes on. How do you extricate yourself from the cycle? Not resisting the cycle, but being a witness to the cycle. The only way you can extricate yourself from the cycle is being a witness. There is no other way. If there is any other method, you please try. But there is no other method. And why do we get more and more caught in the cycle? We get more and more caught in the cycle because we continue to take sides. This is the thing. We take the sides of our likes and dislikes. If my like is fulfilled, that is good for me. So I want my like to be fulfilled all the time. I want my dislikes to be avoided all the time. World is not going to cater to one individual's likes and dislikes. There are situations which will be good for you. There are situations which will be bad for you. So Siddha Prajna is one who maintains that witnessing ability. He meets the world but remains a witness. So if you understand this, would you ever say Vedanta will take you away from meeting the world? Would you want to learn Vedanta before meeting the world or after meeting the world? So then Vedanta should be learned when you are young or when you are old? So why would you run away from Vedanta? Why are people running away from Vedanta? Because they misunderstand. I told you once, you remember, if you don't understand, no problem, because the next class is there. But if you misunderstand, it's a big problem. You know that story about teacher trying to teach the ill effects of drinking alcohol, no? There was a teacher, she wanted to teach the ill effects of drinking alcohol. And she said, instead of giving a lecture, let me do some demonstration. So she said, bring a glass of water, a glass of spirit from the chemistry lab, and little worms from the biology lab in a bowl. They brought it. So she said, children, all of you sit down. She took some worms and put it in the glass of water. They were happily swimming. She took some worms and put it in the glass of spirit. Within few minutes, they died. So she said, children, do you all understand why I am trying to communicate? Everybody in unison, they said, yes, ma'am, we all understand. So she said, okay, this girl here, one of you, this girl here, get up and say, what did you understand? Ma'am, she said, we understand that we should drink alcohol when we have worms in our stomach. Okay. So, she is trying to teach something and these people are understanding something, misunderstanding. This is what Shakespeare says, don't call a dog mad and kill it. You, throughout the world, this is what is happening. They have their own, somebody says it's religion. No, have you read Gita? Just because some people have, made Krishna the God and this and that, now doesn't mean that what he is saying, did you ever go through that objectively? Do you know what he is talking about? Do you know that there is a chapter which is fully talking about action, karma yoga, and these sort of verses? Where it's talking about a perfect individual will be in the world, not running away from the world. It is maintaining the awareness. Running away is easy. Maintaining awareness, being there, is the most difficult thing. And that's what a Siddha Prajna is. So this is what Bhagavad Gita will teach you. Bhagavad Gita will teach you to move into the world fully. You go to any guru and say, this situation is tough, I want to take leave this place. He says, no, you have to be there. It will put you situations more and more for you there. So therefore, people run away from Bhagavad Gita because of misunderstanding Bhagavad Gita, not because they have understood it. That is why a lot of youngsters don't even come to Gita. The irony is, even people who study Gita, they are not understood. Otherwise, they would tell their children in a different way, no? So that the children will understand. Firstly, they will see that the parents are acting dynamically. And that will rub on them, oh, ever since my father or mother had gone to this Gita class, she is functioning dynamically. And yet she is balanced. Looking at that, they would want to study Gita. So in other words, a lot of people study Gita, not necessarily live it. So if you understand it, then youngsters will take it. So Siddha Prajna is not one who runs away, but moves into the world consciously. This is the thing. He moves into the world totally and consciously. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.